from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope. This morning's special music is provided by Miss Allie Kestner. Ms. Andrea Hughes reads this morning's lessons.
The scripture lesson is from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And the man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he took him by the hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Let us stand for the reading of the gospel today. It will be taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and I'll begin reading at verse 36. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See, it is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, Have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. That's an important phrase. He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. You've seen these things. And so see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. Stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Listen now to this message from the Reverend Andrew Lovins entitled, The Universe, Closed or Open?
I've shared with you on a few occasions my story of coming into the faith. And I recount it again this morning because I always think it's a good idea to ask yourself the question, why am I doing this? Why am I standing before this group of people reading from the Scriptures and trying to expound the Scriptures? And for me, it's because when I was young, I felt the tug of God at my heart through the Scriptures. But it wasn't through a sermon. It wasn't through a Sunday school teacher necessarily. But I remember sitting in church one Sunday morning and the preacher was just going on and on and on. You know, there was a time when you went to church in my lifetime when sermons lasted at least 45 minutes. And so you're getting off easy today. And sometimes they would go an hour. And that was norm. That was the norm. And so I was sitting in church and I was listening to this sermon. Wasn't really paying attention. So I started flipping through my Bible and I noticed that there were some words in red, which I know now represent the actual words and teaching of Jesus Christ. And I thought to myself, well, it's an awfully big book, but at least I can read those words in red. And so I started to read those words. And I couldn't get away from it. And I just kept reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it. And so even as a young man, by the time I had graduated from high school, I'd probably read through the Gospels 20 times, through the New Testament 30, 40 times. I was just obsessed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to this day, the gospel to me is still the most amazing, inspiring thing in the world. Through the gospel, I see the world as it truly is. Fallen, sinful, but not beyond the grace of God, not beyond hope through Jesus Christ. Sadly, what I find is that few people take the time to really delve into the Scriptures and to really allow it to speak to their hearts. And when they do, some people have the reaction that, well, this is so otherworldly, so incredible, so sensational that I can hardly believe it. They can hardly believe this passage that we're looking at today, that Jesus actually rises from the dead, or that a lame man from birth actually begins to walk and leap through the temple of God, praising God. And what some people will even say, some critics will say, well, you know, you can't take everything in the Bible literally. Well, duh. I mean, there are parables in the Bible, which are basically extended metaphors. We don't take that literally. There are poems in the Bible, which poems, they're more art than science, and you can't take that literally. But as one Catholic priest said to me one time, the Bible is true, and some of it actually happened. And I think that what we're looking at in our text today, in both texts, but specifically in the Acts text, is we're looking at something that actually happened in the early church. This is the first miracle that's recorded post-resurrection. And I believe that it actually happened. And that shouldn't be hard for us to accept. Because if you believe that there is a God, then miracles are possible. Bottom line. If you believe that there actually is a God, then God doesn't even break a sweat when God does a miracle. Of course, some people rule out miracles for a variety of reasons. Some people will say that, oh, well, you know, the people who lived in biblical times, they were just so dumb. They were just so dense that when they saw something that was beyond the natural, because they weren't scientifically informed, they just called it an act of God. Oh, that's a miracle. They were just really stupid people, in other words. And still other people will say that the miracles in the Bible, specifically the healings, that those are matters of psychosomatic healings. In other words, people were negative, then they became very positive, and once they became positive, the body just sort of healed itself. You've probably heard that one before. But none of that really fits with the scriptures that we're looking at today. The man who was lame from birth, he was this way before he even had reasoning capabilities. And when you read the text, it doesn't seem like he's Mr. Optimistic at all. He's sort of beat down by the whole thing. He'd been sick for a very long time. And so the only thing that we can say here, really, if we're truthfully honest about it, is this is something that God must have done. And if you believe in God, miracles are not a problem. The issue is there is an anti-supernatural bias in the culture today. People, when they come to the biblical text, read it with prejudice in their mind and in their heart because we live in a world that, frankly, finds it very difficult to believe. And so there is a bias when people come before the text. Most people I have found today tend to view the universe sort of as a box. And they've been taught this, and to them, the universe is a closed system like this box. And in their imagination, the only thing that ever happens, the only thing that can happen, is something within a box like this, a closed box, a closed system, and nothing ever goes against the laws of nature. So, people live, people die. When they die, their body rots in the ground, and it's just like they're unplugged from the wall. And they cease to exist. Everything happens within this closed system. It's closed. There's nothing outside of the system. This is all there is. That's what they believe. Well, I believe in something similar to that. I believe that the universe is like a box. But to me, the universe is God's box. And when I look at the universe, I don't see it as a closed system or a closed universe. No, I believe that it's God's universe and that the universe is an open universe. And I believe that God is within the universe and God is outside of the universe. God is both immanent and transcendent. And because God loves us and because God has such power, God is able, when God so chooses, to express Himself within the universe, to reach down into the universe and move things around at His will to effect His purpose. That's what I believe. Now, some people will say, well, God won't do that because then God would be breaking the laws of nature. And then that would put everything out of balance. Everything would just be sort of up for grabs. Is that true? That's what David Hume taught. Let's pretend this morning, let's test this out. Let's pretend this morning that I am a shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals. Sorry, Royals fans. But let's pretend for a second. And we're playing the Cubs, and I'm at second base. Did I say a shortstop? Doesn't matter. Shortstop, second base. Someone hits a pop fly, and I get underneath the pop fly. Now, the law of gravity says that what goes up must come down. Gravity says this ball is going to hit the ground, right? But as the ball comes down out of the air, guess what? I get under it and I stop the law of gravity. I interrupt it. I suspend it. Now, has anything been broken? No, little boys and girls continue to fall down and scrape up their knees, right? And apples continue to fall from trees. Nothing has been broken. But the law of nature, the law of gravity, has been suspended for a time. That's what happens when there's a miracle. Nothing is broken. It's just God and God's purpose, and according to God's wisdom, temporarily suspends or interrupts those laws that govern the universe in order to be good to someone in need of a miracle. So let me just put it to you this way. I believe that the universe is not closed, but I believe, and this is so hopeful, isn't it? I believe that we live in an open universe, and some scientists are actually now beginning to embrace the same idea that, wow, the universe is open and it's expanding. Amazing. So I believe in an open universe. And here's the other thing. People of faith, through Jesus Christ, are given the ability to apprehend the miraculous that is taking place all around us. Now, I may have not seen some big miracles like the parting of the Red Sea or people rising from the dead or anything like that, but I believe that we experience small miracles all the time if we are simply open to seeing them. I firmly believe that. I believe that love is a miracle. It is not our nature to love. It is our nature to get even with people who hurt us. It is our nature to be selfish. It is our nature to live for number one, to hold grudges, to be bitter, to, you know, live like an animal in this dog-eat-dog world. That is our natural inclination. If I slap you in the face today, what do you want to do? You want to slap me back. I'm not going to do that, but that's our nature. So when someone denies themselves and they love instead and they forgive instead, what you're experiencing in that moment is a miracle through the Holy Spirit. I believe that life is a miracle. The fact that there can be nothing, and then out of nothing, God thinks a thought, and God speaks that thought into existence, and reality becomes real. And here we are, and we're on this planet breathing air and water and functioning as we do in this fine-tuned universe built for us. That is a miracle. And here's the thing, listen to this. If only one miracle ever happened, just one, the miracle of life, the miracle of creation, if there's just one miracle that ever happened in human history, then miracles are a possibility. You only have to have one. Not 1,000, not 2,000, not 1,000,000, but one miracle happening makes every other miracle a possibility. But you know what people say? Oh, I still don't believe that, because I've never seen a miracle. Well, maybe there's a reason why you haven't seen a miracle. I love the story of the guy who gets a new hunting dog, and he decides to go out and test the dog out. And he's out there in the blind, and some birds fly overhead, and he stands up, boom, boom, boom. Bird falls out of the sky into the water. The dog does exactly what he's supposed to do. He leaves his master, runs to the water. Then he walks across the water, picks up the bird, and brings it back to the master. The master's like, whoa, what just happened? Rubs his eyes, can't believe it. A few minutes pass, more birds fly overhead. Boom, boom, boom. Another bird falls out of the sky. Dog leaves his master, walks on top of the water, picks up the bird, brings it back to the master. It can't believe it. This doesn't happen once or twice or three times. This happens all day long. The master thinks he's going crazy. He can't believe his eyes. So the next day, he goes back hunting again, brings along a friend to verify the miracle. Bird flies overhead. Boom, boom, boom. Dog leaves, walks across the top of the water, gets the bird, brings it back. This happens again and again and again, all day long. But this man's friend doesn't say a word, not a single word. And at the end of the day, the man says to his friend, hey, did you notice something unusual about my dog? And the guy goes, well, a matter of fact, I did. You know, your dog doesn't know how to swim. You've heard people say, oh, I'd believe if I saw a miracle. Really? Remember the Hebrew children who passed through on dry ground? God parted the Red Sea. You know, Scripture says about them that most of them died in the wilderness. and never enter into the promised land. You know why? Because of unbelief. Saw water come out of a rock. They were miraculously fed by the hand of God. See the Red Sea parted, and they die because of unbelief. People say, well, if I just lived during the time of Jesus, and I saw all the things that Jesus did, raising the dead and cleansing lepers and healing sick people, I would surely believe. Well, you know, Jesus did those things, and a lot of the people that surrounded him, they saw the very things that he did, and you know what they said? Well, he's not a man of God. He's able to do that because he's demon-possessed. They saw miracles, but they still didn't believe. They did. A.W. Tozer put it this way. He said, your eyes see only what your soul allows them to see. Your eyes see only what your soul allows them to see. I believe there are small miracles happening around us all the time. The presence of God is already here. The presence of God is everywhere. What we lack is awareness. There are miracles everywhere. What we lack is awareness that they're taking place because something has become numb in our own hearts. A kind of blindness has come over our spiritual eyesight. So how do we get our spiritual eyesight back? How do we become sensitive to these things? How do we see? How do we become aware? Well, notice in the text, Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. Like any good Jewish boys who believed in God, they prayed 3 times a day. And that life bathed in prayer opened the spiritual eyes of their heart to see God's activity in the world. What oxygen is to our lungs, prayer is to our spiritual senses. If you are not praying or a person of prayer, you're going to be just like those Hebrew children, just like those people who said about Jesus' miracles, oh, that's the devil. That really didn't happen. And if it did happen, oh, that's some dark evil force. If you are not a person of prayer, you will not be open enough in this open universe to apprehend and appreciate the miracles that God is already doing. So pray, then do something. We don't just sit around praying in church all the time, do we? No, we do something. Peter and John, they're on their way to church, and then there's a guy laid at the gate of the temple, and the guy says, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. You know what Peter could have said? He could have said, man, I'm busy being spiritual. I don't have time for that. I'm going to be late for church. I can't help you out. And he could have just ignored him. Or Peter could have had the response, well, what did you do to get yourself in such a predicament? What sin did your parents commit that you were born this way? A lot of people believe that back then too. But Peter didn't do that. Peter takes time out of his schedule. He stops. He says, look at me. And he says, I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. And I don't have any money. I'm broke. But he said, what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. But he didn't stop there. But he reaches his hand down, and he grabs that man by the hand, and he helps him up on his feet. And when he helps him up, the man's feet and his ankles and his legs become strong. And he begins to hop and skip and jump, praising God through the temple. And everybody's going, wow, this is amazing. They're in awe of God. Why? Because Peter was a praying man. Because he was willing to do something. He was willing to help another person in need. You want to see miracles? Help people who are in need. Be among those who suffer, and you will see miracles. Jesus said, whatever you do to the least, you have done unto me. I guess I'm old-fashioned. But I believe that some of this stuff in the Bible that we read about actually did happen. I believe that because I believe in an open universe. I believe that this miracle in Acts chapter 3 happened. I believe that Jesus really did rise from the dead. I really believe that happened. But you know what? There's a greater miracle in Acts chapter 3 than the man getting up and walking and jumping and leaping. It's the miracle that happened in Peter's heart. Remember what Peter was like before the day of Pentecost? Remember what Peter was like before the resurrection of Jesus? See, we think these apostles, that they were just perfect guys, you know, that they never did anything wrong and they had some great advantage over us. No, Peter was one of the guys with the other disciples who were bickering and arguing about who is the greatest among us. That was Peter. Peter was the guy who was so filled with insecurity and fear that when they go to arrest Jesus, Peter draws his sword and tries to kill a man by slicing off his head and misses and takes off an ear instead. That was Peter. Peter was this impulsive, impetuous mess of a human being before he saw the resurrected Christ and before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, here we have this bold, brash, angry Peter in Acts going to the temple at the time of prayer. And when he sees a man in need, his heart melts. Now we have a man of mercy. Now we have a man of love. Now we have a man of tenderness. And he says, look at me. And I like that. Look at me. Look in my eyes. That's one of the things that we need to do when we minister to other people. We need to look into their eyes and acknowledge their humanity. Look at me. I don't have any silver or gold, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And the power of God filled that man, and his life was changed. Heard a story one day about an American who heard about a holy man over in India that was doing incredible things. In this America, he didn't hardly believe it, but he hoped against hope that it was true. So he gets on a plane and he flies over to India to find this holy man to investigate whether or not these miracles were true. He looks high and low and he can't find the holy man, but he does identify one of his disciples. And he sits down with this disciple and he asks the question, is it true what I hear about all of these miracles? Did they really happen? And the student says, well, there are miracles and then there are miracles. The student says, in your country, a miracle is when God does somebody's will. In our country, a miracle is when somebody does the will of God. You want to see miracles? Pray. Pray. And make a habit of prayer. Bathe your life in prayer. And that's just an awareness of the presence of the divine. Thank you, God, for my life. Thank you, God, for my health. Thank you, God, for my job. Thank you, God, for my family. Just an awareness of the presence of God. And then do something. Find somebody who's suffering and say, I'm going to do something about their suffering. And as far as it depends on me, I'm going to relieve some of their pain in Jesus' name. And then our hearts will be open in an open universe to the miracles that God is doing every day among us if we just had the eyes to see. Let's pray. We thank you, O God, for your love. Move us in compassion and tenderness to those in need. Increase faith in our hearts, sensitivity, that we may be aware of your presence always. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.